Well, January is the month for lofty pronouncements and urgent calls to action in both the State of the State and the State of the City addresses, and those and a few other related stories are what we'll explore in our Month in Review segment here out of the chute today, since we've already arrived at 131. It's 131.13. It's all ones and threes here at the end of the month. Here is a little sampling of what happened in January.
Once a year, we do the State of the State. It's a moment to stop and pause. It's a moment to stop and reflect on how we can use relentless positive action to continue the reinvention of Michigan.
I mean, I think most of us here are most upset about right to work. That's the biggest slap in the face.
Autos, agriculture, and tourism all are hitting on full cylinders, and it's a wonderful thing to see.
But there are a lot of issues I'm really frustrated about. As a woman, curtailing my reproductive rights, my access to contraception, is outrageous.
The winners of Car and Truck of the Year, the Cadillac ATS assembled in Lansing and the Ram 1500 assembled in Warren. If you want the best, you buy it from a Michigan product.
Also, I'm really concerned about the privatization of education in the state.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
I was disappointed in the president's proposal. If you look at all 23 recommendations, not one would have stopped Newtown. Not one.
Our own community has seen a rash of shootings, leaving one person dead and a dozen injured in just these first few days of the new year.
And I'll tell you right now, our clerks at the sheriff's office who do this day in and day out can spot them a mile away, but yet we have to end up issuing them permits.
You got a car, you're using the roads. You buy gas, you're using the roads. So it's about user fee increases to pay for this.
And then they're going to talk about raising taxes on vehicles and gas that directly affect those of us that have to commute from job to job. It's one thing after another on working families.
And I want to welcome to Current State the editorial page editor of the Lansing State Journal, Mickey Hurton, along with MLive reporter and Current State business contributor Angela Whitrock and Walt Sorg of the Lansing City Pulse. Great to have you all here this morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
We've been looking forward to this. And it's awfully convenient when so many newsworthy things happen the day before the segment. You're not racking your brains on what happened back on January 4th or January 5th, but we had a pretty busy day yesterday. One impactful thing that happened yesterday, just before the month is history, State Senator Gretchen Whitmer announced she will not be running for the Democratic nomination for governor. She cited her desire to spend time with her daughters. One is 9, one is 10 years old. Here is a part of her video announcement that appeared on her Facebook page.
You see, my girls are 9 and 10, and I really need to be here for them. The commitment to mount a successful gubernatorial campaign is going to require the time and energy like none we've ever seen before. And while I'm dedicated to the fight, I've concluded that I cannot be the Democratic leader, a great mom, and wage that fight in 2014 due to the age of my kids.
I'm really curious, were other Democrats waiting for this to happen, and will we be hearing from any of them soon?
Yes, and
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Make it real simple. It's not quite as totally comparable to Hillary Clinton, but it was close. Gretchen is the candidate that had the fewest weaknesses to be attacked. She's never lost an election, for starters, which is a problem, say, with Mark Schauer. She's got somewhat of a statewide base, which is more than most of the other potential candidates would say. And I've known the Whitmer family literally since before she was born. And the reason she gave was the real reason. It wasn't because she was afraid of running against Snyder or afraid of a campaign. It really was about family.
It didn't seem calculated. I think given what we know about her,
it's very real.
Yeah. That's Walt Sorg, by the way. Sorg of Lansing City Pulse opening up with that. Was the nomination hers if she wanted it?
I would say so. I mean, I think she was, like Walt said, the most attractive candidate for many reasons, one being that she's so different from Rick Snyder. I think that was a problem earlier on. I think what's really helpful, though, about her announcement yesterday is that unlike when John Cherry announced a couple years ago that he was out of the race, you know, they're still, two full years out, basically, from the election. So there's a lot of time for the Dems to get together a good qualified candidate. I think the big question is, you know, are the Dems able to get together a good qualified candidate?
First, they got to find a party chairman.
Yeah.
Mickey Hurton, anything to add to that?
Well, I think her reason for not running for governor is the same one she gave for not running for AG. I mean, she really does. She's changed her life in the last few years, and I think it's a reasonable response to what could be a grueling, grueling campaign. I mean, the money that the Chamber of Commerce and other Republican-type organizations will throw to support the governor is going to be extreme. Yeah, tremendous.
Well, and he received a tremendous amount of out-of-state money in his last campaign.
Exactly right. So she's it's going to be a very, very difficult fight. I mean, and you may think that she has a statewide base, but no way, really. I mean, she's a local legislator, and compared with Schuette or Snyder, I mean, people really do have statewide tentacles. I mean, it was going to be a very tough fight. I think that makes it tough who's going to step in, because I don't know.
She's term limited in the 23rd as well. But before we get to that, you alluded to an attorney general possibility here. Are you saying that's still on the table? The Supreme Court's been talked about as well.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, she kept her options open. But if you're worried about your family and you want to spend time, I'm not sure that running for AG is particularly easier anyway. And Schuette, if he runs again, will just have a ton of money. I mean, he is just he's very much in the very conservative mainstream financial run, and he's got plenty.
Bill Ballinger commented this morning that to make a run for attorney general, though, would not require – you're saying Schuette has got enough money that she would be obliged to go out and raise a lot of money in order to wage a campaign? Because he suggested that the money was less important in the attorney general.
Well, that's why the choice of party chairman is so critical. That's been one of Mark Brewer's major failings, and why a lot of people want him out as chair of the Republican Party, and they're looking to –
close Dem Party.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah, money's not been a problem with the Republicans, but that's been one of the problems. And he also hasn't created the organization, the grassroots organization. You can overcome money. Money's not everything. I think Jennifer Granholm proved that in her reelection when she was outspent, I think, 6-1 or something like that. Plus, she wouldn't be the long slog campaign towards the nomination. She basically, she put the word out that I want to be the attorney general candidate. It's over. She's got it. She doesn't have to campaign for it. So it would be a 3-month burst from the convention in August or September until the election.
But doubts about her strength as a gubernatorial candidate?
No. I don't think there are any doubts about that.
But again, of a weak field. I mean, there are no heir apparents. I mean, it's just such an odd state. You have two Democratic senators, U.S. senators, and the rest of the table is Republicans.
Well, this is sort of the situation, too. I think, you know, again, what Walt alluded to, the party machinery is so just incongruous right now. They really aren't firing on all cylinders or any cylinders, and there's not really a tremendous effort to recruit and groom good candidates for office. So instead of seeing more great possibilities coming up from within, we get these possibilities like, well, maybe Gretchen will run. Well, maybe Debbie Stabenow will run. You know, they've got to find somebody.
And look
within.
At the horrible candidates they fielded for Congress.
Right.
I mean, not a serious candidate in this region.
Right. And if you were running for office, would you want that behind you? You would have
part
to
of, yeah. Part of the problem with that is that the Republicans have helped set the stage, too. This state is so tremendously gerrymandered that it's very hard to convince somebody to mount a serious campaign for Congress when you haven't got a prayer of winning. Mike Rogers hasn't had an opponent, a serious opponent, since he ran against Diane Byrum the first time when he was elected.
Yeah.
And since then, it's been a cakewalk for him because the district has been so skewed that he can't lose.
But you've got to start somewhere. I mean, if you don't begin with any kind of serious effort, you never get back in the game. And so
your paper, the Lansing State Journal's Scott Davis reported, I mean, he at the top of his list, Shower, Gary Peters, and Lansing Mayor Virge Brunero. Any comment on those three?
You know, Virge has got a great record to run on. His state of the city, I labeled it Morning in America in the column I did for City Pulse. But it really was, and it was a recitation of how effective he has been as mayor, given the tremendous financial challenges the city has faced during the 8 years he's been mayor. Dave Hollister points out the city budget today is smaller than when Dave Hollister was mayor a decade ago.
True enough.
And yet the city's got unemployment 2.2% below the state average. It's had some tremendous growth. Admittedly, it's got the four sectors now. You've got auto, university, state, and insurance to build on. But even so, he can run as a very effective mayor. His problem last time was, first of all, a Democrat wasn't going to win in 10. It just was impossible. And secondly, he didn't have a party behind. He had a bad campaign because there was no party support for him because the party was pretty ineffective, and he wasn't prepared to run a statewide campaign.
The LSJ's Scott Davis, again, to get back to your paper, Mickey, referred to the fact that I guess Scott contacted Randy Hannon, pardon me, yesterday, and got some kind of response to the effect that, well, yeah, you might be thinking about this.
Well, Verge is thinking about everything. But I think one of the things that may help him, I mean, I know even our own paper, we were trying to say, can we have a non-political government? Can we have some non-partisanship? Can we work together for constructive solutions to programs? And Snyder presented himself as that candidate. Verge, clearly, you knew where he would be, and it would be more gridlock in the State House. I mean, I think Snyder's lost that mantle of, you know, bipartisan leadership on the right to work. I mean, there are large segments that I hear from regularly now who don't trust him at all and feel betrayed, and that's an opportunity for Bonero.
Lansing City Council President Carol Wood announced yesterday here on Current State that she will not make another run at the mayor's office, and here's how she explained her decision just 24 hours ago right here.
I have a lot on my plate when we look at council and what we have before us this year as president. I believe that you need to be putting all of your energies toward that and making the difference that will make a difference for Lansing right now.
So Carol Wood, not a candidate for mayor. How much, if anything, does this mean?
Well, it's yes and no. I mean, I think she was the easy pick to run again. Obviously, she was not a very good candidate for mayor last time around. I mean, I was with the City Pulse when she announced back in 2009, and the first thing we did was run a phone poll to see how she pulled against Verge. And without anything happening, they were at 50-50. So clearly there was some, you know, discontent, at least among our polling group, with Mayor Bernero. But once the campaign started and she got out and about, you know, people preferred her on council. So, you know, unless there's a real last-minute dark horse, you got to believe that Mayor Bernero's got kind of an easy path to re-election.
Well, his likely opponent's going to be Aileen Robinson from City Council, and she hasn't got a prayer. I don't think anybody could beat Verge right now.
My next question was: is anybody willing to say Bernero's unbeatable?
Well, let's think about something else, though. I mean, that Carol takes herself out of politics, it gives her an opportunity, perhaps, to really dig in as council president. I mean, it takes away a sort of a tension and potential rivalry that was there. The city is going to have really serious issues to deal with. And absent that political dynamic, I'm hopeful that she and the mayor and the council can work together and really forge some creative solutions to some really staggering problems. And I think it's
what's at the top of the list of those staggering problems?
Well, money,
Mickey.
Of course.
Yeah,
I mean,
long term,
it's short term. I mean, we've got financial issues all over. Even something as basic as cooperating with other communities. I mean, the fact that the council could be less polarized may actually help them consolidate services or find partnerships for
that's
people.
A Bernero thing, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, as far as working with other communities, it's not so much the council, it's the mayor's office, isn't it?
Well, it's the city's reputation and the ability of people to say, well, you have a lucid, coherent government in the city that is working collaboratively on big issues.
But also, to be fair, you know, they the city council most often is kept in the dark about a lot of these things until they happen. There was an effort to consolidate 54A and 54B district courts in East Lansing and Lansing, and the council had no idea it was happening until someone from East Lansing called over. I mean, yes, it is the city's reputation, but also, you know, for better or worse, it's a strong mayor government. This is Verge's city, and he's the one who sets the agenda and makes it go. And without bringing the council in on that, I don't think it's quite accurate to say that, you know, they deserve that much of the blame for it either.
And it's not all on the city either. There's not a lot of desire in the suburban areas, the townships, East Lansing, Mason, yeah. to consolidate services because everybody's got their own little fiefdoms. Nobody likes giving up power. That's just a given in any situation, whether it's government or private sector. And they just don't want to. Plus, I think there's some economic considerations. People don't want to be looked on as support as basically helping shore up the city of Lansing. Same
well, they get a free ride. Why wouldn't they take right. it?
Absolutely.
Look at this. We have an airport that surrounding communities don't support. East Lansing's unbelievable. They don't even want you to use their library. I mean, so this idea of sharing, I mean, and the governor is the one who's been pushing this. And if the legislature would make, you know, better incentives for more sharing, I think that would help.
Why do we have a Lansing Township? I've been wondering that for 40 years.
I know. It's just it's these little duchies. They're not even contiguous. It is ridiculous. And in a normal state or a different state, it would simply be annexed to form a rational regional government.
We are talking with the Lansing State Journal editorial page editor Mickey Hurton, Angela Whitrock of MLive, and Walt Sorg of the Lansing City Pulse, and we're reviewing the month of January. Walt, you mentioned the State of the City address and how much that resonated with you. What in particular?
Well, he only devoted two sentences in his speech to the budget crisis, and it is a crisis. Talk with Dave Hollister afterwards. But the way they've set this up, and I got the same vibe from city council members as well as the mayor, is that they're going to talk up the positive and let Hollister and his committee be the heavy. And David's willing to do that because he's got nothing to lose. He's not running for anything. The only thing he's looking forward to is retirement. He's willing to take the political heat for some very onerous decisions that are going to be made. There was talk of selling the Board of Water and Light, you know, basically eating your seed corn. But that's off the table. The mayor took that off the table. They're going to have to, a combination of more taxes somehow, some way, and there's going to be drastic cuts. The city only does three things: roads, police, fire. That's pretty much all the city does. And there was no mention of the crisis facing the Lansing School District, which is even more serious.
Mickey Hurton?
Well, it is. I mean, they have this team, and they have a lot of pretty smart people on it. And I think we're going to have to take their recommendations very seriously. I don't think that people yet recognize the degree of difficulty the city faces, in part because the city's done a great job. I mean, every year they cut back, and every year for the average person they go, well, nothing's really changed for me. But the day is coming, and I think that's what Hollister and his group will have to show and are going to show.
It's a public hearing tonight at Pattengill, by the way, on the financial health team.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems that is facing the city that's nearly impossible to deal with without some major legislative and union contract changes is retiree health care and pensions. The unfunded liability facing both of the city's pension systems is huge. The city contributes, I think, around $7 million a year into those pension funds, and that's not even for retiree health care. Current retiree health care comes out of the general fund, and it's huge. Last year, I ran the numbers, and I found that on average, from the general fund, the city pays more in benefits and retirement to police and fire than they do in actual salaries. Now, you think about that, there's not much wiggle room there. I mean, we can talk all we want about, you know, rolling over into a 401k, but the reality is until you pay off that $600 million unfunded liability, you can't change the retirement system, so it's not going to be that easy.
Also yesterday, Carol Wood, who has traditionally focused on services to neighborhoods, in contrast to Verge's economic development focus, Carol stressed yesterday here on Current State her ongoing focus on neighborhoods.
The idea of bringing jobs and everything is wonderful, but if you have a workforce that's in our neighborhoods that are buying our houses, that are sending their children to our schools, you will see that retail as well as manufacturing will come because we have a workforce. So we've got a lot of work to deal with in our neighborhoods, especially with the foreclosures, the fact that we've reduced services, and that's made a difference in how the neighborhoods look as you drive through them today.
That got a little squishy, but I think she's making a case for the neighborhood. She's known as the neighborhood outreach person on the Lansing City Council.
When I was running for the legislature and I was going to neighborhood association meetings, Carol was always there. I mean, always there.
Oh, yeah.
And she has the reputation amongst the activists in neighborhoods. If you need something done in City Hall, you call Carol. You don't call the mayor's office. You don't call your ward council person. You call Carol, and it gets and things get done. And that is her brand. And that has been her focus her entire time in public service as a community organizer and somebody who really focuses on neighborhoods. It was a treat. One other thing I wanted to get to before we get back to that was one thing the mayor didn't mention in his speech, not one word about state government and what the state has done to the city, how much of the problem has originated across the street from City Hall.
Funding.
Even to the point where Andy Shore and Tom Cochran are sitting in the audience and weren't even introduced. I mean, there was zero mention of state government, which has been a huge part of the problem, and with the personal property tax repeal, it's going to be even bigger.
I mean, it is going to be huge, and I think part of that is the tone that Bernero wanted to set. He wanted to showcase the incredible year Lansing's had, and really the incredible couple of years a lot of the projects he talked about have been in the works for a very long time.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least touch on Right to Work. This segment has flown by. We're almost out of time. But Right to Work continued to be a much discussed topic here this month, and it's not going away. But as much as the landscape has changed, time can soften disputes. Is this one of them, or was there too much blood spilled here? Mickey Hurton?
Well, I think there was too much blood spilled. I think that the sense of betrayal that people feel toward Snyder is real and ongoing. I think even his call yesterday for the Supreme Court to make a ruling in order to short-circuit any legal challenges to the bill, again, reflects their just, you know, the lack of awareness that there are other views and other people. I mean, it was real interesting. He talked about the success of the ATS. A car built in a union, highly unionized environment in Lansing.
The UAW workers.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they want it both ways, and they can't have it both ways. And I think this Right to Work ruling, this will be the defining measure for Snyder, and because it certainly is for so many people in the state.
We're down to under a minute, unfortunately. Walt Sorg.
I worked in state government for 20 years, 10 years of that in the legislature. The most important thing you have in trying to affect policy is people trusting you. Democrats do not trust Rick Snyder, and that's something he can fix with a state of the state message or fix overnight. He's going to have to earn trust, and it's going to take him a long time if he wants to get anything passed.
Angela Whitrock, why don't you take us out?
Well, I think Right to Work is going to be a huge problem going forward. I think a lot of people are puzzled by Snyder's statement that Right to Work wasn't really about the economy when that was the entire motivation originally to enact it. What we'll really be telling is how the Dems respond and if they can get any momentum and any traction together coming out of it.
And don't you love the way it's now turned into Freedom to Work, not Right to Work. We're an Orwellian at every turn in this state.
The Free Beer and Ice Cream Act, we call that. The Lansing State Journal's executive editor, Mickey Hurton. Angela Whitrock is with M Live and is a current state contributor. And Walt Sorg writes for City Pulse. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you for having us.